A number of weeks ago, there was a lady who doesn't usually come to Mass on Saturday evening, but she had come during the 5 o'clock Mass to set up a table outside waiting for people to come out of Mass. And I think Monsignor Moore had the Mass that weekend, and so towards the end of the Mass, I kind of walked up to the table and greeted her, and she said, "What happened in church tonight?" And I said, "What do you mean?" Well, she said, "At communion time, everybody just began pouring out." And I said, "Oh, that happens every Saturday night." And then last weekend, somebody who had come just to kind of be there to greet people at the end of the 5 o'clock Mass said, "You know," she said, "I thought I got there late. Everybody was coming out of church, but Mass wasn't over." You know, it's not only a problem, I think it's worse on Saturday evening, but it happens a lot at the Sunday Masses too. Communion time comes and out we go. I haven't addressed the problem because I realize that it's a symptom of something far deeper. It's a symptom of the fact that we really don't understand what the Mass is. Neither do we understand who it is that we are receiving. I read a statistic just this week, and I've heard various statistics, but they're all around the same numbers. That on any given Sunday in the United States, about 33% of the Catholics go to Mass. That same survey indicated about 80% of Catholics went to Mass in the 1950s. We have lost our understanding of what the Mass is and what its importance is. The same thing can also be said when you look at the fact that some surveys indicate that a very high percentage of Catholics no longer believe that the bread and the wine of the Eucharist are transformed into the body and blood of Christ. And one of the ways that gets played out is by people coming to communion and go straight from the communion line to the parking lot. No stopping to acknowledge who they have received. No stopping to think that that one Eucharist, that one body of Christ, draws them into unity with every other member of that congregation who has been nourished with the body and blood of Christ. I'd like to read a passage to you. You've heard me speak of this book before. It's called He Leadeth Me. And it's written by this American priest, Jesuit priest, who at the beginning of World War II, when the Germans invaded Poland and his parish was shut down, he decided to go into Russia, he and a friend, to do missionary work there. Well, soon they were arrested. He spent 5 years in solitary confinement, and then he spent the next 15 years working in a labor camp. And he has one chapter in the book on the Eucharist, and this is just a selection from that chapter. In every camp, the priests and prisoners would go to great lengths, run risks willingly, just to have the consolation of this sacrament. For those who could not get to Mass, we daily consecrated hosts and arranged for the distribution of communion to those who wished to receive. Our risk of discovery, of course, was greater in the barracks because of the lack of privacy and the presence of informers. Most often, therefore, we set our daily Mass somewhere at the work site during the noon break. Now, you need to remember, this is a time when fasting was from midnight till the time you received Eucharist. Despite this added hardship, everyone observed a strict Eucharistic fast from the night before, passing up a chance for breakfast and working all morning on an empty stomach. Yet no one complained. In small groups, the prisoners would shuffle into the assigned place, and there the priest would say Mass in his working clothes. The intensity of the devotion of both priests and prisoners made up for everything. There were no altars, candles, bells, flowers, music, snow-white linens. Yet, in these primitive conditions, the Mass brought you closer to God than anyone might conceivably imagine. The realization of what was happening on the board, box, or stone used in place of an altar penetrated deep into the soul. Distraction caused by the fear of discovery, which accompanied each saying of the Mass under such conditions, took nothing away from the effect that the tiny bit of bread and the few drops of consecrated wine produced upon the soul. That's an awareness of the value of the Mass that we have gradually been losing. That awareness that the Mass is truly sharing in the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that His life might grow within us, and that we might grow in our unity, our oneness as the body of Christ. There are some today who would argue that, well, Jesus really didn't mean it when he said that the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. I would ask you to tell that to those prisoners, that that wasn't the body and blood of Christ. Or I'd ask you to tell that to the early Christians who sometimes risked their lives to attend the Eucharist. You know, the gospel reading today, it follows that passage we had last week where Jesus said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And many of them began to leave. You know, normally when Jesus was not well understood or when he was misunderstood, he corrected their understanding. This time, he says, will you also leave me? He meant that we are to receive his body. We are to drink his blood if we are to have life in us. What is the Mass? You can look at the Mass in many ways, but the most central part of the Mass is this. It is the making present of that one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not repeating it, but somehow transcending time and space, Jesus continuing to offer himself to the Father for us and inviting us to offer ourselves to the Father along with him, so that our imperfect sacrifices can be united to his perfect sacrifice, that we can be received by the Father as part of Jesus' great gift of himself to his Heavenly Father. The purpose for which Jesus became one of us was so that he can gather us to himself, form us into the body of Christ, and therefore at the end of time present us to his Heavenly Father. At each Mass, that is what he is doing, is gathering us together, forming us into his body, offering us to his Father. At each Mass, he nourishes us with the gift of his very life. He invites us to be formed into oneness with him. He doesn't compel us. each of us remain free. We can say yes to his invitation, or we can say no. The choice is ours.